Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Take our Bible tonight and let's do a little Bible study. And I want you to go with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 12 tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. And I preached on Saturday night in Asheville, North Carolina, and I used this thought there, and when I get to my main thought, you that's been here a while will remember these three points. I've used these three points before, but I want to bring a different aspect into it tonight, something that I saw that I've never saw before. I was reading the other day and a book on the life of David. You that comes here a lot knows that I enjoy studying the life of David. Man, I really do. I love studying the life of David because of this. David is probably the most practical person wrote about in the Bible. And what I mean by that is this. We see a lot of David's accomplishments as a young man all the way up through his adulthood. But we also see a lot of David's failures in his life. And I think sometimes whenever we look at Bible characters, and I love to do character studies. I love to study people of the Bible. But I think sometimes when we do these Bible character studies and we read about these people in the Bible, I think sometimes we get this assumption that these people were supernatural people. But I want to say something to you tonight. They was not supernatural people. They was common people just like you and just like me. David was a common man just like you and I. David didn't have some superpower. He was not some superhero that Hollywood may betray people to be today. That's not what David was. David was a common man just like you and I. But David chose to completely surrender his life to Christ. And when others saw a shepherd boy in David, God saw a king in David. And God took David's life and done amazing things with it. And whenever we begin to think about David's life, just by way of introduction, probably the first thing that comes into our mind is David slaying Goliath. David killing Goliath with a rock and a sling that day. It wasn't a slingshot like we think of today, but it was a sling. In other words, it was two pieces of string or two pieces of rope with a piece of leather on it, and you would actually wind that up. You would swing it around and around and around, and you would let one end of it go. Whenever you did, then the rock would fly out of it. And it's pretty amazing that David was good enough with that sling and with that rock to hit Goliath and kill him that day, which I believe God had a lot to do with it. Somebody say amen right there. But God had to have somebody that was willing to sling the rock. And it would be amazing what God would do with your life if you would be willing to sling the rock. Now, don't literally go out and get a slingshot and shoot somebody with it, but understand the practical application that I'm making tonight. David was willing to give God everything. David was willing, whatever it was. So we hear about that. But whenever we continue studying his life, David also killed a lion. David killed a bear when they come out against him, even before he kills the giant. David was not a little bitty boy when he kills the giant that day. David's probably 15 or 16 years old when that happens that day. But God uses the life of David. David goes on, and David ends up becoming anointed, the anointed king of Israel. And David begins to rule and reign over God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. What a joy and what an honor it had to be to rule and reign over God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. David has something said about him in the book of Matthew. I'm almost positive it's in the book of Matthew that nobody else has him said about in the Bible. Here's what it said, that David was a man after God's own heart. Nobody else in the Word of God has that said about him. David was a man after God's own heart. You know, I thought about the inner circle of Jesus in his day. I thought about Peter, James, and John, but Peter, James, and John doesn't even have that said about them. I thought about the Apostle Paul that writes close to half of the New Testament, and man was a man that said that he was innocent of all men's blood. In other words, he told everybody after he got saved, he told everybody he come in contact with about the Lord Jesus Christ, but Paul doesn't have that said about him. John the Baptist and John the Beloved, none of those have that said about him, but David has it said about him that he is a man after God's own heart. And David, matter of fact, we all know that great psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the way Psalms 23 so beautifully reads and how we find comfort and help and strength from it. But you know who the author of that is? It's David. We can go to Psalms 32 and Psalms 37, Psalms 51. And boy, we can read down through these psalms and all of the things that David penned down and how David done a great work for God in his life. But when we come to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 2 Samuel chapter number 12, we're introduced to a very bad mistake that David makes in his life. David ends up messing up and having an affair with a lady by the name of Bathsheba. And boy, chapter number 11, I'm sure, is a chapter that David would give anything in his life to rewrite. I bet if we was all honest within ourselves tonight, we would all say this: there's some chapters in our life that I wish I could go back and rewrite. There's some things in my life I wish that I could redo. I wish that I hadn't made that mistake. But here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is this: hindsight is 20/20, and we can do nothing about it. We cannot go back and change yesterday. We cannot go back and change today. We cannot go back and change the last 30 minutes or even the last 30 seconds of our life. But we can start tonight and look ahead and change what we do in the future. We cannot determine our future by our past. We must determine the day that I'm going to serve God in the future. I'm going to make a difference in the future. Hindsight is hindsight. Here's what Paul said: forgetting those things which are behind, looking forth to the things which are before. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize, the high calling of God. Now, look with me in chapter number 12. Let's pick up reading in verse number 1. Then I'm going to look back in chapter number 11 and bring some thoughts out of it. But look what the Bible said in verse number 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth, God. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to relay to the people, God, the things that you've instilled in my mind and in my heart. And God, we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look in verse number 4. The Bible said this: and there came a traveler unto the rich man. I was reading a book on the life of David last week, and as I was reading the book, it came to verse number 4 and began dealing with verse number 4. And it put a lot of emphasis on one word in verse number 4. And the word is this, traveler. The Bible said this, and there came a traveler. And there came a traveler. So you know what I've done? I began to study that word traveler, and simply what it is, it's somebody that is passing through. It's somebody that is on a trip, a traveler. I'm sure that you'll begin now planning to travel in the summer for vacation, and here in just a few weeks, some of our young adults will be traveling up to Middle Tennessee Baptist Church for their youth meeting with some of our young adults, and that traveler is somebody that is moving. And as I began to think about that, now stay with me a minute and let me explain myself. I began to relate that back to our mind. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. Each one of us sitting in this room every day of our life has travelers go through our mind. In other words, we have thoughts that's running through our mind. They're traveling through our mind. Have you ever got something on your mind and you couldn't get it off your mind? It's traveling in your mind. Here's what happened in the life of David. David is a man that loves God. David is a man that's serving God. David is a man, as I've already stated, that is the king of Israel and that is living in the perfect will of God for his life. But David woke up one morning and there was a traveler come through his mind. There was a thought that came through his mind. Here's what we're going to do with every thought that comes through our mind. We're either going to let that thought keep going or we're going to allow that thought to stay in our mind. David in chapter number 11, here's what happens to David. In verse number 1, the Bible said this, and it came to pass at the times when kings go forth to battle that David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, you remember I told you that David was the king of Israel. That's what David is. And the Bible said this in chapter 11, verse number 1, that David, it was the time when kings go forth to battle. So that's David. That David tarried still at Jerusalem. If I could say it, I would say it this way. In other words, David is in the wrong place at the wrong time. Why? Because David's supposed to be on the battlefield. David is supposed to be on the battlefield. The Bible said the kings go to battle at this time. But David didn't go to battle. David tarried still at Jerusalem. David was not where David was supposed to be. If we're not careful, there'll be times that we find ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. Anybody ever found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time? I give an illustration on Saturday night preaching that I'm not going to give today because we're on live feed about finding myself at the wrong place at the wrong time. And there was a game warden in the same place. But to make a long story short, I was able to get away from him before he could figure out who I was. And we'll just leave the story right there. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I thought about this. David's in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the Bible goes on to say this, and it came to pass in verse number 2, in an evening tide that a David arose from off his bed. That David arose from off his bed. So David evidently has just been laying around all day long because it was evening tide when he arose off his bed. My dad said this years ago. He said, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. And I thought about this in David's day. David wasn't laying there with a big screen TV in his bedroom watching some TV evangelist or some live feed on TV. David wasn't laying there with a tablet reading some commentary or reading the Word of God. He didn't have that. David, I don't even know that there was books in that day. Maybe there was somebody had wrote a book about murder next door and David was read. I don't know. But I know this, David's laid in the bed all day and he's had an idle mind more than likely. He's had an idle mind. So what's happening in the mind of David? The devil has set up a workshop in the mind of David because he's been laying around in the bed all day and he's got an idle mind. David has a traveler come through his mind. As we continue reading chapter number 11, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of it, but when we continue reading it, David gets off the bed, walks upon the rooftop, and understand it's not a roof as we have here today. I don't have time to preach all that. It's a flat roof in that day. He walks upon the rooftop, and here's what the Bible said, that he saw a lady very beautiful to look upon. And she was bathing herself. Now, a lot of people says, why was she bathing herself on the rooftop? Why was David on the rooftop? I just say all of this. There's a whole other message within itself. But if David had been on the battlefield, he'd have never been on the rooftop. He'd have never been in the bed, and he'd have never been looking out there. David is in the wrong place at the wrong time. David ends up walking upon the rooftop. Now, hear me. And a traveler comes through his mind. A thought starting in his mind. Everything that happens in chapter number 11 started with a thought in his mind. I want to submit something to you tonight. You may agree with me and you may not agree with me, but I believe every sin starts with a thought in the mind. We can go all the way back to Genesis, and you know what happens in the life of Adam and Eve? There was a thought went through her mind, and Satan says this, "Yea, hath God said." Yea, hath God said. He didn't come straight out and quote exactly what God said. He just simply says, yea, hath God said. He sows a doubt in Eve's mind in Genesis chapter number 3. And it causes Eve to even misquote what God says. And Eve ends up sinning in Genesis chapter number 3, even Adam. And now sin's passed upon all mankind. Where did all of that start at? It started as a traveler in their mind, just a thought running through their mind. Just a thought running through their mind. I want to say something to you tonight. We better guard the thought in our mind. Sin is what is destroying our world today. Can I get an amen right there? Sin, you say, why is there sickness today? It's a result of sin. Why is there cancer today? It's a result of sin. Why is there Alzheimer's today? It's a result of sin. Why? It's a result of sin because God created man in His own image. They was perfect in the image of God, but they chose to sin. And when they did, sin passed upon all men for all have sinned. And the Bible says this, for the wages of sin is death. We know that because of sin, death is in the world today. All sin comes back to this. It starts in the mind. So watch this. Sin has the power to ensnare our mind. The word ensnare simply means to entrap. Sin has the power to ensnare our mind. I thought about this. What happened in the life of David right here started as a thought in his mind. David could have reacted a completely separate way, but that thought got in his mind and it ensnared his mind, and all David could think about was Bathsheba. That's all he could think about. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says this, that with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. With every temptation, God makes a way of escape. As soon as the power got turned on in that building over there, as soon as it got turned on, you know what one of the first things Brother Brian and Brother Joe and myself started doing was putting up the illuminated exit signs. Let me tell you the reason why. Because you gotta have them over there. This building's grandfathered, that one's not. You gotta have them. You know what it is? That way, in case of a danger, there's something says right here is the way out. All the power can go off, but there's still emergency lights that light up that exit, and then the exit sign itself stays illuminated. Why? Because it's a way out. For every thought that goes into your mind that is potentially going to become sin, God makes a way of escape for that. That's what He says. For every temptation, God makes a way of escape. The problem is this. A lot of times we allow that traveler to start driving down tent stakes in our mind, and it ensnares our mind. You say, well, what about David? Did David have a way to escape? Absolutely. Here it was. David says to a servant, go home and read 2 Samuel chapter 11. He says to a servant, go get Bathsheba, go fetch Bathsheba and bring her to me. The servant says, David, is this not Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite's wife? He's reminding him, David's got 37 mighty men. Uriah's one of those mighty men. Uriah is a man that's willing to lay his life down for David. And that servant is reminding him, hey, what you're fixing to do is with the wife of a man that's on the battlefield right now. A man that's willing to die so you can live, and you're going to run off with his wife? God made a way of escape for David. But the problem was this, that traveler in his mind had ensnared his mind. Our mind is I'm trying to think of a politically correct way to say it, but I'm just going to say it the low gap way. Our mind can be all jacked up, messed up. Are you with me? It can be all messed up. Listen, it had the power to ensnare his mind. Let me read you a verse right here. I don't have this mark. Let me read you a verse. I hope I can find the right verse real quick. Romans chapter number 12 said this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What did he say about the mind? He said there has to be a renewing of the mind. How does a man's mind become renewed? Verse number 1 tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. My mind immediately runs back to the Old Testament tabernacle. What did they do? They brought in a sacrifice. And they took that sacrifice and they placed it on the altar so fellowship could be restored back to God. Watch this. He said that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. The sacrifice was placed on the altar. So what he is saying to us in a practical term is this, that for the renewing of our mind, we must live our life on an altar. Pray without ceasing. It's that we have a constant communication with God. And when we're in that constant communication with God and temptation comes our way and tries to ensnare our mind and begins to travel through our mind, God illuminates the way of escape for us because we're living in fellowship with Him. The problem is this, we're so many times in the wrong place at the wrong time because we're not in fellowship with God. And when a traveler comes through our mind, we end up falling to temptation. Why? Because it has ensnared our mind. I thought about this. This had the power to ensnare his mind, but I would say this to you. It had the power to erase his reasoning. Had the power to erase his reasoning. You know what? David ends up sleeping with Bathsheba. She becomes pregnant. He brings Uriah home off the battlefield, makes Uriah drunk, tries to get Uriah to go in with his wife and sleep with his wife. Uriah won't do that. He sends Uriah back to the battlefield, but he sends a letter with Uriah to Joab. And here's what he says in the letter. Take Uriah, set him at the forefront of the hottest battle, and whenever the battle gets on, you retreat from Uriah. Leave him by himself. You know what David practically did? David practically murdered Uriah. David, the blood of Uriah is on David today. What happened? This sin in his life, this traveler that he allowed to drive down tent stakes in his life, tell you what it caused him to do. It caused it not only to ensnare his mind, but to erase his reasoning. A lot of times, how many times Have you seen somebody do something and you thought in the back of your mind, I never dreamed they would have done that. I never dreamed they would have done that. Let me tell you what happened. Here's what happened. Their reasoning was erased by the power of sin. Their reasoning was erased by the power of sin. I thought about this and I'm done tonight. And not only we think about this traveler, if we don't deal with him, these thoughts that run through our mind, they'll have the power to ensnare our mind. They'll have the power to erase our reason. But they'll have the power to eclipse our God. Eclipse our God. In other words, we won't even think about God no more. In other words, God's the furthest thing from our mind. We're not even looking to God. We're not even consulting with God, if you want to say it. They eclipse our God from us. They eclipse our God. Where did all of this start at in the life of David? Let me tell you where it started at. David murders her. You go on to study the chapter. Miss Tina, if you don't care to start playing softly, you go on to study the chapter. David not only kills Uriah, has him killed, but David also then brings Bathsheba into him, marries Bathsheba, and thinks that everything's okay. But the Bible said in verse number 27, and when the morning was past, chapter number 11, David sent and fetched her to his house. That's when he marries her. She became his wife and bare him a son. But note this, the last part of chapter number 11, verse number 27. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. It had displeased the Lord. And you know the story in chapter number 12, Nathan comes to him that I just read about, confronts him about it, and God chastises David. The baby is born, the baby dies. God chastises David because of his sin. Did God forgive him? He did. He did. And God will forgive us for our sins. Amen. Matter of fact, chapter 12, verse 13, if you're there. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Boy, thank God for that. But, verse 14, howbeit. In other words, that wasn't the end of it. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. You go on to read, and that baby ends up dying. Where did all of this, where did David's downfall start at? Where did David missing the mark? Matter of fact, from what I can study, and some of you Bible students in here may can prove me wrong on this, and if you can, please, I want you to after service. But I can't find from this point on any major accomplishment in David's life. There's a few things, but nothing major that he done from this point on. It was before this. Where did it all start at? Here's where it all started at, in his mind. There was a traveler came through his mind. And David didn't deal with his thoughts the right way. He didn't deal with his thoughts the right way. If we're not careful, we'll allow sin to take up bed in our mind. And it will cause us to think on nothing but that. It will cause us to erase our reasoning, and it will cause God to be eclipsed from us, and we'll find ourselves in a great big mess. Let me tell you the reason I go to church. I don't go to church because I preach. I'm glad that I'm able to preach, but there's times that I go to church that I'm not preaching. There's not many, because usually if I'm in church, I am preaching. I'm looking forward to just a few weeks. I said this, some of us is going to Tennessee. I'm taking some of our young adults to Tennessee to a meeting up there, and I'm just going to go in, and I'm probably going to sit down on the back row. I'm going to be a back row Baptist. And listen, I'm excited about that. But let me tell you the reason I go to church Here's the reason I go to church, because of my mind. Let me tell you the reason you need to be faithful. And I know it's Wednesday night, so everybody ought to holler amen right here. But let me tell you the reason you need to be faithful to the house of God, because of your mind. I'm not saying you're a nut job. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this. Some of you maybe, but here's what I'm saying. I mean, look at Brother Robert. Here's what I'm saying. Sin begins to get in our mind. Let me tell you the reason we need church on Wednesday night. It's because we've been out in the hell holes of the world Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We've battled the things of this world. We've battled temptation. We've battled heartaches. We've battled struggles. And we come into the house of God for just a little while to hear the Word of God preached and learn about God and spend a time in prayer. Why? So we can renew our mind. That way, when we go back into the workplace on Thursday, we've had that shot in the arm. We've had that booster to get us through the rest of the week. The reason I come back on Sunday morning is because my mind needs preaching. My mind needs the Word of God. My mind needs to hear the songs of Zion. My mind needs fellowship with people of like faith. Our mind and I. He said, there came a traveler. Those thoughts that go through your mind's just a traveler. And you're going to do one of two things with that traveler. You're either going to kick them out of your mind, or you're going to allow the devil to get a stake and start driving up a tin in your mind and wreck your life. All of it started. Every divorce started with a thought. Every addict started with a thought. Every alcoholic started with a thought. I'm preaching good. Started with a thought. It started with a thought. Every sin that we commit started with a thought. You say, well, preacher, I'm not guilty as David. I'm a man here, and I'm not guilty as David. I've never committed adultery. But you know what the Bible said in Matthew? If a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's already committed fornication with her in his heart. Did you get that? He's already committed. In God's eyes, we're guilty. If we look on her to lust after her. If David had been on the battlefield, number one, he'd have never saw her. But if David wasn't supposed to be on the battlefield, and he did step on out on his rooftop, and he did see her, it was not a sin that he saw her. It was a sin that he looked upon her. If I'm driving down the road and somebody is inappropriately dressed or inappropriately doing something in public, I can't help that I drove by that. But it becomes a sin when I break my neck. Somebody say amen. It becomes a sin when I turn around and go back by. Amen, Brother Jonathan. That's when it becomes sin. A traveler in our mind. Father.